Okay, so your Sunday school lesson this morning, and then it's going to be for the next couple or three Sundays. So it and this one is in 1 Peter, and then next week continues in, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry. And then next week continues in 2 Peter. And then after that, it jumps into Romans. But for two or three, we're going to be talking about false teachers. So it kind of, they give you so many verses that it kind of all starts running together, because you kind of think after you talk about false teachers a little bit, it's just kind of continuing on. So what we want to look at is, when we're talking about these false teachers, is how does it affect us as believers in our life? Because that's mainly what it's all about, is what we're, when you read the New Testament, there's, in the Old Testament, you back up and you get some scriptures out of the Old Testament about false prophets and false teachers. But in the New Testament, especially in Paul's letters, and it talks about false teachers, it's how it affects, especially believers that haven't matured yet. But false teachers can also affect maturity in the church as well. So that's kind of what we want to look at when we read down through these scriptures, because there's no way we can just hit on every verse. There's just so many verses that they give you. So what, when you look at today's lesson, and the name of today's lesson is The Destruction of False Teachers. So what'd you get from that? Anybody want to give me anything on that?
One of the big things today, and people don't know it's false, is the oneness church. The oneness church is Jesus' only church. And there's a lot of churches, a lot of denominations believes in that Jesus only, that he's the only one. And they just believe that that's the rest. And they won't go away from that either. You try to explain it to them.
And then them false teachers, they twist the words up to fit their need instead of the line of God. But even still, Peter, he concentrated on deliverance. And you know, we're in the Jude kind of leaning towards judgment. So it gives you an option to get your head in line.
Yes. So what Dad was talking about, have y'all heard of that? It's kind of it's like a Pentecostal. It started with a Pentecostal movement, but instead of believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they kind of emphasize everything upon Christ and being baptized through the Holy Spirit, and a lot of that, then they talk about speaking in tongues and different things like that. So they follow repentance kind of in a way, but they look, it's more like the Catholic Church, if you remember, they focus mainly on who? Mary. So now the new movement is focusing on just Christ only, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So again, when we're looking at these things, we would consider these things as being, that maybe you don't, you might say, well, it's not, there's some truth to it, but we still consider it false, because we're not talking about the complete truth or the whole truth. So we're not talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this movement, or this Jesus only movement, is not according to the Word of God. It's just kind of according to the Word of God. So these are movements that are out there today, the Apostolic Church, the different churches. These are movements that are out there today that they use the Bible, and even though they talk and use parts of the Bible, things that they pick out, it's still got to be considered false, because they're not using the complete truth of God's Word. And this is what we talked about this a little bit in Bible study Wednesday night about using the completeness of the truth of God's word. So here, this lesson today, what Peter was began to focus on was the distress, the spiritual distress that false teachers bring upon the believers in the church. So the question would be, do we experience spiritual distress in our life because of all the, we're going to call it false teachers or immoral corruption that is around us in the world? Sure we do. We shouldn't, and you wouldn't think that we would, because it has to do with the truth of God's word. But genuine faith, okay, genuine faith is sensitive and should be sensitive to sin, because the Holy Spirit that indwells within us cannot what? It cannot coexist with sin. So therefore, we have what we would call spiritual distress in our life. This is what Peter's talking about. He's talking about when our soul grieves over the wickedness of mankind. If you remember, as you study the Word of God, if you remember, there was a time that Abraham, when we was talking about when our name was written in the Book of Life, that of course the Israelites had a book, and they called it their Book of Life. And if you remember, your name was written in that book. And here's where sometimes people, I don't mean to get off on all this, here's sometimes where people get your name can be written and then taken out. But in the Old Testament, if you were coming to sacrifice and you were doing everything right, your name was in the book. If you quit doing that and if you sinned, then your name was taken out of the book. And then it was put in again once you begin. So Abraham at one time said, Lord, leave everybody else's name in the book. Just take mine out. Let that be upon me. At one time, Paul himself even said that in some of his letters. Lord, let that be upon my account. This is grieving over the wickedness of mankind. That's what this is all about. So the spirit that dwells within us produces conviction, and rightfully so, and we're happy that it does, because this gives us this awareness of the sinfulness that is going on around us. So the conviction is, a lot of people think that, well, when the Spirit convicts me, then I'm in trouble, because I'm doing something wrong in my life. But the reason that the Spirit convicts us is because He's trying to draw us into a closer relationship with God. He always wants us to experience the fullness of the glory of God. Now, how many times when we go throughout our day, how many times do we not experience the fullness of the glory of God? Many. I mean, we get aggravated, we get upset, we see a lot of things going on out here in the world today. So the Spirit is always trying to empower us, because there is always a battle going on within our lives. And we always say it's a battle between good and evil, what we right and wrong, but really the battle is we're still looking towards the old nature, so there's this struggle to change. And the Holy Spirit is trying to help us with that battle. And if we would allow the Holy Spirit to help us, the battle wouldn't be near what we make it out to be at times in our life. So there's this struggle to change, and it's empowered by the unholy Spirit, because God wants us to overcome sin and conform to the image of His Son Christ. So that might bring up the question then, as believers, do I still sin? Yes. Why do I still sin? So here's how this works. The old nature is going to be attached until we leave this world. So there's always going to be sin. We don't have to sin, but there's always going to be sin there. The good thing is before you were saved, you were a slave to that sin. you couldn't get away from it. There was no way to get away from it, because the only way we can get away from it is through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. So the good news is now that we're saved, we are no longer slaves to that sin. We still sin, but we're not slaves. We can get away from it. If we choose to do so, we can get away from that, because the Holy Spirit provides us with that power to do so. So since we're struggling to change, but we can remain steadfast in the Lord, even through these struggles that we're going through in our life. So it's this that provides us with discernment. So let me ask you this question. Would it be better for us if there was no false teachers, or is it better for us that there is false teachers? Sure, because God wants us to learn discernment. This is why this is in our life. So this provides us with to be able to see and identify. That's what God wants us to be able to do. So how many of us could truly say that we can identify every false teacher that we come up to in our life? No, there's just no way, because our relationship with God is just not where it needs to be. And these false teachers disguise themselves so well at being righteous. And through this self-righteousness, it's not godly righteousness, but through this self-righteousness that sometimes we don't see it as self-righteousness, then they can change the truth of God's word in such a way that it sounds good to us. Well, maybe we should go this direction because what they say makes sense. Well, it might make sense to you, to your worldly self, but when you begin to talk to the Holy Spirit and when you begin to pray, then God's going to show you that it doesn't make sense at all. So the Spirit allows us to determine or to recognize these things. This is what we're trying to learn through these next two or three weeks of Sunday school lesson. To recognize if the truth is being taught. And the only way that we can do that is we have to have an awareness. And we have to be ourselves anchored in the truth of God's word, despite all the different teachings and things that we see or we hear going on around us out there in the world. Did that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Holy Spirit, we got the Holy Spirit, but we got to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to help discern with these things that the world's going to throw at us.
Right.
Yeah, we have to study, let the Holy Spirit take it. Develop our mind with the knowledge and the understanding of what God's trying to tell us.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's go to 2 Peter. Let's read the first couple verses. Anybody want to read them? Hello.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their
pernicious
ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
Okay, so if, first of all, and we probably miss this part because it just doesn't stand out. But first of all, if we would pay attention, we get the part. There will be false teachers that's going to rise up among you. So now we're scared to death. There's going to be people come in. They're going to teach. But if you pay attention, he says denying the Lord. But what does the last part of that verse say? It says God's going to take care of it if we don't get involved and promote it. So he says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. So if the reason a lot of times this thing continues on within the body of Christ is because we get involved in it and we don't allow God to take care of it. If we allow God to take care of it, he's going to take care of it. But he said, no, we follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the truth of evil is spoken of. So first of all, we understand that false teachers are not outsiders.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It would be easier if you had a church full of people and you had false teachers among you that were your friends, your family, your neighbors. But if somebody new came in and sat down in it, it would be easier to pick them out than the ones around you, right? So we have to understand that these are people that rise up within the body of Christ. So what he's saying here is they're very hard to identify. Sure. So they try to use the truth of God's word to hide their true intentions, which is probably something worldly. That it's either gain, materialistic gain, or it's hard to tell what it is. But what it does is when you begin to distort the gospel, then it begins to promote immoral behavior. And can you look around today and see immoral behavior, something that you wouldn't have seen 10 years ago? Well, sure you can. So and we accept it, right? Let's take a TV show for example. There's probably some TV shows on that I would like to watch because they might be based upon I like westerns, so they might be based upon modern day ranching or modern day cowboy. But I don't watch them because of the immoral behavior, the things that have changed. But we, as a whole, we accept it. You know, one little cuss word here, one brief nudity here, so we begin to accept that, and now that's an everyday thing anymore. So how many of you have noticed, and I don't want to get off on all the immoralities in the world today, but I've noticed that, let's take commercials on TV. The discrepancy used to be between different nationality of people in the commercial. Now, commercials are mostly made up of gay and lesbian people that's being promoted in front of us, but you still see them every day, so it just what? Goes in this, you know, it's just an everyday thing. See, immoral behavior, this is what happens in the church. This is what Peter's talking about. These things that begin to take place within the body of Christ that after a time or two, well, we can let that go. So this is what he's talking about here. So obedience is the key to the truth of God's word. And we sometimes get to where we allow things to happen because we say, well, according to the promises of God, that's a little iffy. It could be that it could go either way. No, it can't go either way. It's either right or wrong according to the Lord. It's either sinful or it's not sinful according to the Lord. So we're warned about these things. So we see all these popular things that are happening out there in the world today. Just because they're popular doesn't necessarily mean they're true. So you know, a lot of times is, well, we do it because we've what? We've always done. That doesn't mean it's right, is it? So, but that's what happens. So there's a lot of people that's going to claim to be believers, but they still live these immoral lives but they live them by professing God's word and making it sound like that those immoral lives that they're living is okay. That this becomes very dangerous because it makes these lives seem more influential to the people around them. So it, right, it, what we're talking about in Bible study. So but this has been, you know, in school you probably called it peer pressure. You know, why did you start chewing tobacco? Well, so-and-so, all my buddies done it. Or why did you start smoking? Or why did you do this? Or why did you do that? I mean, it's just so, but it's all the same immorality. We just allow it to happen or to take place. So let's look in Titus here. Let me go to a scripture in Titus.
Well, while you're all finding it, I know this is off the wall a little bit, but we was out at, I call it Bosco's, but I know it's called another name, but that's how I call it, up in the mall. And you got young girls that's on, with these skirts on, it don't have no slips on them. Well, growing up, you wore a slip under your dress. It's like I told Roger, I said, I have every color slip there is to wear under your dress. And I said, and if I went out without a slip under my dress, I got knocked out. And it's just like, how come they're not made to wear a slip under their dress? You know? And it's just like, why? I mean, it's because it's accepted nowadays. You don't have to do that. I mean, you're not made to cover up. And it's just like, come over here. I want you to.
Yeah, we accept a lot today.
There is no pride in people's lives anymore.
You call it pride, and it's not.
Well,
that.
I mean,
it's,
you know, if you're
it's like,
have,
show me.
Yeah. Well, I just like you, Jim, and all proved to me in the Bible. I mean, you know, everything's right there in front of you. But there's something I was thinking there while you were talking there. The things that we have to really, really pay attention when we're studying this word, and but if I, those words a lot of times we overlook. Those are very important words when people these year, doctors or people that they use to take and dictate the way they want to teach, preach, and everything. Therefore, we have to be really up to date on all those
we're
words.
We're at Titus. He said Titus. I said, where at Titus?
Anybody else?
No, I said, where at in Titus?
Oh, Titus, chapter 1. We're going to go to verse, let me see what. Let's do 15 and 16. So he says, unto the pure, all things are pure. Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So here's what he says. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate or immoral or obnoxious or you know, however you want to put that. So this, if our, so you hear people use, quote the scripture all the time about the fruit that they bear. Most people that quote that scripture have no idea what it means. So, but here's what we're talking about. If our righteousness should always, our inward spiritual righteousness should always align with our outward spiritual actions or confession. This is what we should be able to see in people. And so this is what we look for. Because true knowledge of God, it always shows a life that is changed. And not only a life that is changed, but it also will show a life that has a willing desire to be obedient to the Word of God. a willing desire to keep the promises and the commandments of God's word. Now, I did not say a life that always keeps the promises and the commandments of God's word, because we're not going to do that. But it shows a life that has a willing desire to do that. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, each one of us, communicates with. So mine communicates with yours, yours communicates with mine. It shows us that willing desire. So this means that a true believer, or one that has this willing desire, then his claim is not just to wisdom and knowledge, but it's also to understanding what his faith is truly all about. And this shows through our works. Faith without works is dead faith. And it does not focus on all the other things that are going on around, you know, the rituals, all those other things are worthless. If this is where our focus is, then we're focusing upon the wrong thing. God wants us to focus upon the truth of God, of his word. He doesn't want us prioritizing things in our life that has nothing to do with being obedient to the promises and the commandments of his word. But yet within the church, a lot of things become priority. Now listen to this. A lot of things become priority because we're doing them in the church, so it must be okay to prioritize them. But that's not true. We always prioritize God and allow him to allow everything else to take place or to happen that he wants to happen and take place within the body of Christ. All right, let's read down through a couple more verses. Anybody want to read down through two or three more verses?
Starting with three. But half in the times manifested the word through preaching, a which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. I'm in the wrong place, okay.
That's okay. We need to hear them too. Back in our scripture lesson, 2 Peter 2, starting with 3.
Okay. Starting with 1. 3. Okay. Maybe. And through covetousness shall they with friends words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment.
Okay. So here's where we get into the part of the lesson that the title is the destruction of false teachers. Because as you read down through these few verses, 3, 4, 5, and we'll go on down through 6 and 7, it gives you some examples, but it talks about what God's divine judgment on this. And it talks about what our responsibility is through these things in our life. So God always shows man the right way to go. So, you know, when you read down through there, he said, he spared not the angels of sin, cast them into hell, delivered them into chains of darkness. He spared not the old world, but he saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and but as an example unto those who should live. But he delivered just Lot, who vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. And what does the word vex mean here? It means he was distressed. Okay, Lot was distressed because of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot probably didn't want to leave. And if you remember, God had to bring angels in to take him out because his distress led him to compassion. If you remember, when God sent his son, it said he could have called what? Legions of angels to destroy the world and save his own soul, but he didn't because of what reason? He knew that it was his compassion and it was his time so that salvation might be offered, so that mankind could be saved. So he gives us these examples to show us that yes, he is going to, his destruction is going to come, his judgment is going to come upon those who are promoting this, but it's also, he's going to lift those up that don't go along with it, that don't follow after it in their life.
Yeah, his wife, though she was saved by her sinning, she was turned into a block of salt. So you can be saved and disobey God, and you might be turned into a block of salt.
That's right. That's a good. That's a good point to bring up.
She couldn't keep her mind off the world, so she had to look back and say, "I mean, you know, she's, wow. Stay focused."
What she didn't believe.
Vexed means what?
Vexed. Distressed. Distressed. Okay. I mentioned that in the very beginning. I mentioned being distressed because of the sinfulness of the things that are going on in the world around us. It's not worry, okay? But it's when we see the sinfulness around us, then that should be the Holy Spirit then uses that convicting power to pray about those things, that not to be involved in them, not to let it worry you, not to let it get you down. But it's, as believers, it's our responsibility to lift those things up in prayer and turn them over to the Lord.
The Bible says we have to mourn for them.
Yeah, it's kind of, would be kind of like a mourning.
Yeah.
A spiritual mourning.
I was going to say a spiritual
mourning. Yes. So Jeremiah went through some of this in his life, back in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, verses 35 and 36. Here's what he says. "Thus shall ye say everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken?" Meaning, we're, you know, I know what you all were saying, but so he was questioning, why haven't you went to the Lord with this? So he was asking them. And of course they couldn't answer because they'd never taken it to the Lord. But that was his way of getting that point across. And he said, "And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more." And here's what he said. "For every man's word shall be his own burden." Okay? "For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts our God." So Jeremiah knew, this is why the Holy Spirit was using him to ask these questions. Jeremiah knew that they had never taken whatever it was, they had never taken it to the Lord. But he didn't want to come out and say, "I know y'all haven't went to the Lord." So his thing was, well, what'd the Lord tell you about that? They had no answer because they had never went to the Lord. And this happens a lot in the church today when things arise within the body of Christ. We immediately should take it to the Lord. But our first instinct is to what?
Do it ourselves.
Yeah, fix it. I'll fix it myself. And when we do, he says that burden is upon you. Okay?
It caused destruction.
Every man's word shall be his own burden. So when we don't take it to the Lord, then that burden is upon us. For ye have perverted the words of the living God. Meaning, by not taking it to the Lord, we're not being obedient to the promises and the commandments of God's word. So he said, that's on you. And today, that's on us. So what we get a lot today is, and I hear this all the time, it's a pet peeve or whatever you call it, but I hear this all the time, even in a lot of different preachers and teachers. But God told me, or here's what God says through his word, and never read a scripture. I can't do that. Because I can tell you, I probably couldn't quote you one verse of scripture and get it exactly right. But that's the big thing today. God told me. Okay? Or here's what God showed me through his word. Or here's what God told me to tell you that his word says. This is all based upon somebody else's opinion. And more than likely, it's going to distort the truth of God's word. So anytime somebody stands up and says, God told me, once they get done, just politely say, I'll wait for him to tell me the same thing if he wants me to know that. Because this is one of the things that people like to follow. We talked about this in Thursday night. Because we're lazy Christians. If you tell me what God told you about the scripture, I don't have to study it myself. I don't have to study it myself.
It'd just be like one of these chain things when we was kids. I'll tell you, you tell mom yeah. tells dad. Well, it's hard happens. To tell what it'll be when it's
in the right, that's right.
That's called a follower.
So you've got to be cautious of anyone who claims to have a divine revelation from God. Now, I'm not going to say God's not going to give you a divine revelation, but if he gives you a divine revelation, he gave it to you for you. Now, one of these days, he will allow you, once that divine revelation is working through you, he will allow you to share that with other people, that maybe even people that might be going through the same thing. But anybody that just stands up and claims to have this direct line of divine revelation, then I can almost tell you that the truth of God's word is going to get misrepresented. Because it's probably being done for their own selfish greed or pride or materialistic gain.
Scripture to back it up, then it's like I always told
you,
prove it.
Yeah, and if you're going to tell me what the scripture says, I would rather you just read it to me.
Yeah.
Her and I talk about a lot there at the house. And I start talking.
I challenge them.
Prove it. So.
Well, you can't take one verse and try to prove something.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that here. There's a verse that I heard Jim was talking about, a certain verse there in Romans. But you know, I got to think about it as we got home. If you look back about five sentences, I read that, and then if you get down where you was at, you still don't want to go understand. Go more, five more sentences.
Right.
You know, you're probably going to find the answer there.
Where do you think most wives, old wives' fables come from? Red at night, sailors tonight, red in the morning, sailors warning. Where'd that come from? It doesn't say it exactly like that, but that's what we got out of it. Look that up.
Was that a question?
There's, it could be, but you can understand by even see those are innocent old wives' fables, and but when you get to researching them, and the innocent started, you know, back years ago, everything was done in the church. This is where you gathered for your community meetings. This is where you gathered for church, for Sunday school, for school, whatever was going on. So all of these things were brought out of the scripture. And you can see how, as innocent as they are, how far off they are from exactly what the truth of God's word is all about.
And I can guarantee you all them things that went on in the church, whether it was church, get-togethers, or whatever, I guarantee you the Lord was in all of them.
Sure.
I can't say that now.
Sure. Yes. Yep. Okay, let me read the last couple verses here. Starting with 8. For that righteous man dwelleth among you, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. So as believers, then God will protect us if we will allow him to do so. Because God is attentive to everything that is going on within our lives and around us. And he understands every situation, even when we don't understand the situation we might be going through, God already understands it. So, and he always has, he has already provided a way out, but he has to encourage us to follow after that way out. We have to choose. So this is those challenging circumstances that are going on in our life. God has already provided the way to fix it, but we have to see that. And we have to follow after that in our life. And one of the things that these couple lessons are going to bring out is that false teachers are very bold. So here's what you got going on. You got God and the Holy Spirit talking to you and saying, I've provided a way. And then you've got these false teachers saying, I'll show you the way that's provided by God. Which one are you going to follow? Most people's going to follow after the one that says, I'll show you the way that's provided by God, even though it might not and probably is not the way God wants you to go. So they're very bold, and they're not afraid to mock the realities of the truth of God's word. So that's one of the things we have to understand. And God is going to, and these two verses explain that, God will hold unrighteousness accountable. Doesn't matter who it's in, he'll hold it accountable, and he will protect the ones that are faithful. So go ahead.
Asking you shall receive in faith, believing, but seeking you shall find.
Right. So we must learn to, we're not to walk after the flesh, because if we walk after the flesh, then we become that. But we walk after the Spirit, because the ones that walk after the Spirit will do the things of the Spirit.
You You know, Christians, we're free to do about anything we want to do. You're free to take a drink of alcohol, but if that second drink makes you drunk, well, then you sin, you'll be punished for the second one.
Yes. Do you understand that?
Huh? Been there, done that.
Well, you can do, you can use anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be alcohol. It could be tobacco products. It could be food. It could be, Gigi mentioned, what you wear. See, it anything. But the Holy Spirit has to be the one to direct you in the way that it's sinful. You can't change on your, I can't change on my own, you can't change on your own. And if the, you know, people, I hear people all the time, well, why do they keep smoking them cigarettes? They know it's bad for them. Well, and then somebody might say something about you, what you eat, or the clothes you wear, or the, or going shopping every day at Walmart, or so you see the, you see how that works.
Yeah, you can eat anything you want to, but glutton is a sin. So if you overeat, well, you're sinning, so you'll be punished for that overeating.
That's right.
I love Proverbs. The Proverbs tell you the right and wrong stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me go back and see if I can get that live feed to come on. But I did send Susie a thing saying I haven't been able to get it. So if anybody, if they don't see it, we'll give them a few minutes to get here if anybody wants to come over from the other church.
I'm going to just put this paper with that shirt thing back there if anyone else wants to put.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Hey, Susie.
How are you?
Pretty
good. How about you?
Oh, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm
good. I'm good.
I'm
good.
Yeah.
Is that the last one? Got one more?
One more.
Oh,
He said it's all rusted under there. They need all the copper pipes and everything. They told him that faucet had been on there since they moved there.
I went and bought a new one and put the old one back on. I still got the new one in the box. That's been 2 years.
She went
up
the hall back out of the hall, up this hall. Back across the hill, come back down through the woods, come out in the lot behind it. She was just pacing like a pregnant. Let that guy sing that from the floor.
Not yet. If all else fails, Google it. See what Google says.
Hey, Xavier, how are you?
I remember a long time ago you had one of the Roger trucks. You take a look at it. You want to do it, and you just add it to the bottom there.
Oh, okay.
Is it?
That's okay.
I don't know what's worth it, but I'm getting a little bit of a shame.
Oh, shoot, we gotta.
Well, this is going to it. And maybe that's what I should come back for. I'm gonna leave if you don't want.
I was hoping to see, but it's not gonna be.
Yeah, it helps the church, so that's all now.
Our list.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
But I'm gonna order them a little bit bigger size.
Okay, so you're gonna put that back with the picture? Okay. I'll look at them.
Is that correct?
For the Mount, I put Mount Lebanon and then our sizes that I think. I should have put total orders in this.
It's not very good, so.
That's okay.
Well, okay. What about Jerry? I didn't really need to leave here and carry me. That's the best one of the day.
No, we quit. I spent the time we quit. I was like, very happy.
And he caught me.
Well, Jason, I'm gonna do something. I think he shut off.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was, I can't remember. I started doing that something. I heard him talking.
I don't know. I don't know what chemicals it dried up.
I investigated.
But it might have dried up.
Emergency room. I called him just all of them. I said, you know, if you live in the hospital, you're not allowed to say. I didn't need to keep him waiting, but it was just this.
Back up to the house.
I think they said, no, I think they said we had diverticulitis, actually. Which is. Well, that's where you have those pockets and they used to tell you not to eat seeds and all that, but then now they say eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
They say that's not a thing anymore.
Don't give it. I'm gonna look to see what Jason said.
Water or something.
I don't have a clue. I don't know. I seen Kayla go outside. She must have went out in the sun. Did you go out in the sun, Kayla?
That and to get something to drink.
Oh.
But it's really nice out.
Yeah. It's supposed to be 80 today, so.
I was sitting on the chair in the back door when Jim came out to get the car. Enjoying the sunshine.
I think that pretty soon.
Yeah, it was warm yesterday. It's supposed to be warm today, and if they cool down, they won't.
What's the odd is today?
I was somewhere the other day, and they had that on. I can't remember what it was now, but. Well, it was an old one because Tom Parker was still in there. Heck, it might have been your house. I didn't listen.
It might be in the right day, but yeah, it was tomorrow. So I'm not cleaning up the breakfast room. Didn't know what time we get up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I haven't done that once.
I'm sure it's coming back.
That sun coming through that window is like blind. Can you see it? Yeah. McMillan's standing back and walking. In fact, we're trying to get the live feed. Jody, can you help him?
I'm computer illiterate.
Me too.
I don't think so. I don't know what I'm doing. He's saying,
hey. I say, here, fix this.
We got two or three.
Do you make her do it? That's what the idiot does to me at home.
Does he get you to fix it?
My phone, it's my phone on my phone. Here, do this.
Me either.
I don't know.
I have a girl at work.
Did he try to reboot it?
I don't know what he's done. I'm computer literate.
Did you see that baby?
Even tried to reboot the internet?
Don't know.
I mean.
Might as well give it up.
I don't know.
They tried to reboot
it. Should have.
They just won't. We got one more. Maybe it'll pop in.
They don't work with us, that's for sure.
They don't get only one, do they? She had me worried yesterday, but she.
She had it clear up on that hill of the fence where she was at.
And I said, well, we was going to go for a walk yesterday. We were going to go from the house to clear up this farm. There's a muskrat that we've been trying to get. So we thought if we sneak up, we'd catch it. I said, maybe they're not trying to clear from the house yet. We took the side by side up to the dam.
And then walked
and then out. And afterwards, I realized I wouldn't have made it.
I was leaving and I had my babies. I never will forget.
Matt, and his wife, I saw her walking the baby the other day in the stroller.
She walks with her daddy.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
And there's nothing there.
I'm trying to be bad. So she couldn't have been too
hard. It's such a quality match.
I don't see how you.
Well,
you
know,
down there, I know.
It's awful.
All
day long's mud.
But,
and then the horses.
Right. Yeah. I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, I mean.
All else fails, ask Google.
Should have sent back one of these young ones.
I wish we had one that could do it, because I would certainly.